Broadcasting from London, Ontario, Canada, to the rest of the world, this is Talking Combat with Chris Toplak.
Thanks for clicking on the play button and tuning in to another edition of Talking Combat with Chris Toplak. This is the second to last episode of the program here on MMASucka.com. An extended leave of absence. Will I return? I'm not entirely sure. Will I pop up somewhere else in the future? Can't definitively say yes or no, but I do appreciate all of the positive messages and tweets and emails that have been saying that you've tuned in over the past couple of years, you've enjoyed the show, even if you're a new listener, still greatly appreciated as well. So take time out of your life to listen to the show, and I'm forever grateful. On the program today, the new UFC corporate campus, Ronda Rousey updates, the roast of Reebok, that's going to be fun, and predictions for UFC Fight Night, the Ultimate Fighter finale, and UFC 194. Let's get to the weekly recap.
Miss something? We've got you covered. This is your weekly recap.
Not a ton of news from this past week, but what we did receive was fairly eventful. The UFC machine continues to grow stronger and stronger. They held a ceremony last Tuesday for the new UFC corporate campus and UFC Athlete Health and Performance Center in Las Vegas. And this sucker is going to be huge. In fact, Lorenzo Fertitta said it's going to be 180,000 square feet. Imagine the price tag on that. He also noted the target for completion should be anywhere between February or March 2017. So that's going to be their big new office, and they're hoping that a lot of fighters are going to train there. I was even reading some articles that they're hoping to limit the injuries that they're experiencing as of late if more fighters flock to this facility. But again, do you really want to completely retool your entire camp, relocate yourself all the way to Las Vegas if you don't need to, just so you can hope to limit an injury? I don't think it's going to limit much, but it's going to be interesting to see what it looks like. And obviously, they're putting a lot of money into this promotion, and most importantly, themselves. Dana White confirmed to ESPN that the immediate rematch between Ronda Rousey versus Holly Holm is next. In fact, he actually mentioned, if they did not do this, that him and Lorenzo would be the worst promoters of all time. Makes sense from a perspective of making money and building this fight. Dana has even said that Ronda Rousey is more popular now after being knocked out than she was previous to that. And even this next piece of news, someone supports it. According to Yahoo, yeah, they're still in existence, and not just for Yahoo Sports. Rousey was the most searched for athlete in the world in 2015. In fact, changing of the guard, it's been refreshing. Top five most searched for athletes were all female. Ronda Rousey topping that list, that's big news. And in fact, joining Ronda Rousey on the EA UFC 2 cover will be the winner of Jose Aldo versus Conor McGregor. It's probably wise that they didn't jump the gun again. So the last time they announced she would be on, and then all of a sudden she suffers a vicious knockout. So playing their cards a little more closely to their chest, a wise decision. Michael Bisping versus Gegard Mousasi, set for UFC Fight Night 83 in London. I've heard rumors of Rory McDonald versus Hector Lombard for that same event. If that's the case, and that's true, that's a must watch. For the first time in 5 years, the UFC returns to Pittsburgh on February the 21st. Without trying to sound too bitter, here I am in Canada saying, when are you coming back to Ontario? Not asking for much. According to MMA Junkie, UFC Gleison Tibau has been temporarily suspended for potential anti-doping test failure. He last competed a month ago in Brazil. And just recently, the UFC was informed by the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency, the USADA, of a potential anti-doping policy violation. If you see him, you'd probably get the picture that, yeah, there's probably something going on here. Because he appears as though he's in his late 40s, even though he's in his early 30s, but the man is completely jacked all the time, and he's cutting a ton of weight to get to 155. So can't say I'm surprised, but again, it's only temporary. We'll have to see for sure. The roast of Reebok. I've been looking forward to this, but they just keep making it so easy. Normally, I resist temptation, but could not do so any longer. It's been well documented that the Reebok UFC deal has not exactly gone smoothly. Reebok's attention to detail is alarmingly bad. It's embarrassing. Among the recent mistakes include the following: Anderson Aldo, the ultimate Brazilian mashup. In fact, those shirts sold out quite quickly. I wish I got my hands on one of them. Also, Lyoto Machida's latest shirt got his age wrong. It was a year off. And they listed Conor McGregor's fighting style as Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. When was the last time you saw him attempt a submission? When was the last time you saw Conor McGregor say, I'm going to take this to the ground, try and lock him in a rear naked choke? Last but not least, Showtime's new nickname, Anthony the Mauler Pettis. Alexander Gustafsson wants his gimmick back.
Predictions you can take to the bank.
Three events, arguably the biggest fight weekend of the year. And since I do not want this episode to exceed, say, an hour in length, I'll only predict a handful of fights. Let's start with UFC Fight Night. Nauman Nunez versus Van Zandt, taking place this coming Thursday, December the 10th at the Chelsea, the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas, Nevada. Their first time at that venue, at that hotel. Women's strawweight division. Rose was a finalist on the Ultimate Fighter season to crown the new women's strawweight champion. During her time on the show and throughout her career for that matter, she has shown flashes of brilliance that usually incorporates her expert submission skills. But her one Achilles heel has been wrestlers. And Paige happens to be one of the division's best. Paige Van Zandt is 3-0 inside the octagon and continues to improve at a rapid rate. Her grappling is among the best in the division. But I've noticed a great deal of development in her striking, especially fight by fight. It is evident that she is growing more comfortable with each appearance, and I would imagine this trend will definitely continue. Rose's only threat will be getting crafty with her submissions, getting a hold of a limb, but Paige is far too composed to allow that to happen. Her submission defense is top-notch. So Paige Van Zandt via unanimous decision. Some great fights on that card as well, too, of course. You know, Jim Miller, Michael Chiesa, Sage Northcutt, and the substantial amount of hype behind him. So overall, it's worth watching. Now, the Ultimate Fighter 22 finale takes place the very next day, December 11th, at the Chelsea, at the Cosmopolitan, the same venue. They don't really have to tear anything down. Great card. I'd love to make more predictions than just one because you have Joe Lozon versus Evan Dunham on there. You have Edson Barboza taking on Tony Ferguson. Two fighters I really enjoy watching compete. But let's talk about the main event on that card. Styles certainly do make fights. Featherweight division, Frankie Edgar versus Chad Mendes. And with the exception of Aldo versus McGregor, I am most looking forward to this scrap. By the way, Edgar has... he opened, I believe, as a slight favorite over Mendes. Surprised me. Frankie Edgar is the UFC's modern-day Rocky. He's always a proverbial underdog, but his heart and tenacity just make him so endearing to the fans. Beyond that, he's an incredibly skilled fighter with many tools at his disposal. His wrestling is among the best in the division as he controls you with a dominant top game that leaves little room for error, and really, he doesn't allow you with any room to breathe either. He's on a four-fight winning streak with recent victories over Uriah Faber in a very dominant performance, and a finish for that matter, over Cub Swanson. A win over Mendes should guarantee a shot at either Aldo or McGregor, especially McGregor, right? Because that'd be the first time competing against each other. Mendes came up short against McGregor at UFC 189, but he dominated first couple of rounds in a lot of ways until he got caught with many kicks and combinations. That was on very little notice. So with a full training camp under his belt, perhaps we would have seen an entirely different outcome. Nevertheless, Mendez is the only other competitor in the featherweight division who can match Edgar's ability to wrestle, skill for skill. My heart says Edgar, but my brain says Mendez. In this case, I do feel Edgar's experience and ability to fight very methodically will pay off. I have Frankie Edgar via unanimous decision. He'll stick and move. He'll keep it interesting. But that'd be great. Imagine now, McGregor wins, and then you've got Edgar. Completely fresh matchup, which is what we need in the UFC at this place. UFC 194 takes place this coming Saturday, December the 12th, at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. An absolutely outstanding card, especially that main card. You have Max Holloway versus Jeremy Stephens, guaranteed fireworks there. Damian Maia versus Gunnar Nelson. If you're a grappling fan, it does not get any better than that. Jacare Souza taking on Yoel Romero, perhaps the next contender in the middleweight division. At least I would like to believe so. And of course, two title fights as well, too. And that's where I'm going to be making my predictions. The first at the middleweight division. Champion Chris Weidman taking on challenger Luke Rockhold. This fight has flown completely under the radar. It's one of the best matchups of the year, and yet it is overshadowed by the main event. Ever since his loss to Vitor Belfort back in May of 2013, Luke Rockhold has been a man possessed. Since then, he's gone 4-0 with four finishes and four performance of the night bonuses. If you want to talk about momentum, no one has more than Luke Rockhold. Enters the octagon with quite a bit of it. I also firmly believe that Rockhold is the most well-rounded competitor in the entire middleweight division. Yes, that does include the current champion. But often having all those tools in place does not guarantee victory or championships. From an opposite perspective, Chris Weidman enters the octagon with a lack of momentum. And that's really due to the fact that he's had multiple injuries that keep pushing his title defenses back. When the man is healthy, he's one of the best fighters on the roster. There's no doubt about it. But if these physical setbacks continue to hinder his return, it might be a matter of time before it affects his performances as well, too. Let's also not ignore the fact that Chris Weidman is 12-0 and one of the most dominant champions in the UFC. If he enters the octagon healthy and mentally prepared, he's as tough as they come. While Rockhold holds the definitive advantage, hold and holds, there you go, in the cardio and dynamic striking department, Weidman is more durable and he's more powerful, and he's got that wrestling background as well, too. It will be the champ's toughest test to date, but he will pass with flying colors. Chris Weidman via unanimous decision to retain that middleweight championship. Main event of the evening. So much hype, so much excitement. Featherweight division champion Jose Aldo taking on interim champion Conor McGregor. I really dislike the fact this is being built as a champion versus champion main event. To be the man, you've got to beat the man. And here's Conor's opportunity to conquer the legend known as Scarface. Conor McGregor is certainly a polarizing character that thrives on attention and mental warfare. But he honestly has the skills to back it up. Powerful, fluid, and unpredictable. Conor is undoubtedly a nightmare for any opponent in the featherweight division. But let's not forget about the pound-for-pound greats known as Jose Aldo. From a technical standpoint, he's damn near flawless. He also happens to be one of the most violent and intimidating fighters to ever compete in the sport. His one and only blemish on his record is from 2005. We may as well just ignore that. Chalk it up to a lack of experience. That being said, he was definitely tested in his last fight with Mendez and will want to avoid the same mistakes on Saturday. McGregor is far more capable of capitalizing on those mistakes. Now, here's kind of a bit of a breakdown. Critics have questioned Conor's takedown defense, but Aldo does not pose such threats in that wrestling department. These same critics have questioned Aldo's cardio and weight cuts, but based on past results, this might be a case of looking for any flaws since very few exist. I imagine the fight will play out as follows. Conor will push a feverish pace to start the fight, but will soon back off after he eats a couple of counter shots from Aldo. He's going to realize, yeah, he's quite powerful. Got to keep my hands up, or at least he should. From there, it might simply be a case of whose chin holds up longer, because they're both violent men who are going to be throwing kicks and punches. Given the long layoff and the fact Connor may have gotten into Aldo's head, I believe we may finally see a new king reign over the featherweight division. Connor McGregor via TKO, and the building will erupt if that's the case. Those are my predictions. Let me know what you think all over social media, whether you agree, whether you disagree. Always love to hear them. And again, thank you for supporting the program. Next week, we call it a day. We wrap it up. We'll end it off with a bang as we recap UFC 194, UFC Fight Night, and the UFC Ultimate Fighter finale. So we've got lots to talk about. And until then, happy trails to you until we meet again.
This concludes another edition of Talking Combat with Chris Toplak. Follow him on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or at ChrisToplak.com. And visit MMASucka.com for a new show every Sunday.